Morning, everybody. How are you guys? Good? So like Peter said this morning, we are talking about caring for creation, and I have to say that it's almost a sin to be talking about it in here and not out there, because we have just another fantastic day out there, so hopefully you'll be able to get out there and enjoy it. My name's Dawn. I'm also one of the pastors here at Jacob's Well, and I want everybody to turn and look at my mom and say, hi, Mom. My mom's here today. Yay. I feel like David Letterman. Doesn't he do that with his mom? All right. So like Peter said, we've been hitting a lot of really big topics over the course of this Just Start series. We've been talking about caring for the sick and the suffering among us. We've been talking about caring for the poor. We've been talking about trying to do things that stop the injustice that's going on in the world. And I don't know about you, but I start feeling really overwhelmed with all of this. And then today we're going to delve into something else that's really huge. And so it's really easy to just get kind of paralyzed and go, I don't think I can do this anymore. So we've had kind of an ongoing mantra during this series that I think kind of helps us get past that a little bit. So we're going to put it up on the screen, and let's just read it together, okay? I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. And I don't know, I think I'm going to put that on my refrigerator. That's a pretty good thing to just keep reminding ourselves about. So let's delve in. We're talking today about caring for creation. And I have to admit that I need to get a bee out of my bonnet right away regarding creation, because I really think caring for creation begins with standing in awe of it. But I think a lot of times we spend more time arguing about it than standing in awe of it. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the endless debate, not just in religious circles, but even in the general public, about creation and where it came from, right? It's that age-old debate, endless before time began practically, about, okay, we have all this beauty around us. How did it start? And so, you know, did it start with the Big Bang? Or did it start with all these elements that happen to be all together in just the right place, under just the right conditions, at just the right time, that life was able to form? And if I can convince you of that, does that mean you can't believe in God? Or did God at the beginning put all these things into this perfect motion and sort of start this amazing kind of self-running universe? Or did God create everything that you can see in 6 days and rest on the seventh? And if I can convince you of those scenarios, well, does that mean then that you can't believe in science, right? What on earth are we going to say about creation? And for heaven's sake, what are we going to teach our kids? And it goes on and on and on, and I think God must just chuckle, as if, right, as if God can be proven, as if anybody is going to come to faith in God by some logical proof through a God who is beyond proof. And so, I don't know, Paul in the book of Romans, in the very first chapter, he puts out this argument. He says, he basically indicts the world for its disbelief in God, saying that every single person everywhere has the opportunity to look at creation and because of that, believe in God, right? But that's an argument from the side of faith, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who every single day are out there in awe of creation who really actually don't believe in God. See, because the truth is that God created us with some serious brain power that's not going to be coat-checked at the church door, right? And God also created us with this incredible capacity for faith in what can't be seen and what can't be demonstrated, and what can't be fleshed out in the laboratory, right? God created us that way, and that's God's realm. That's where God does God's work. Creation is never going to prove a God who operates beyond the realm of proof. But what God has done and continues to do throughout all of time is God uses the majesty, the incredible majesty of creation, to open up a door of faith for us to walk through. And I don't know, I think once God manages to pull us through that door of faith, then it really is hard to look around and see the majesty and not see God in it. And then what Paul says starts to make sense once God's pulled you through that door. And so I want to talk a little bit more about it. I have my favorite place in all of creation, and I'm guessing that you guys do too. I'll give you some time to think about that in a little bit. My favorite place is in western Montana. Go Montananites. Yeah. It's in western Montana, Glacier National Park. You get to it by hiking about 8 miles over the Swift Current Pass, and then you hike up a super steep part of the mountain to the highest fire lookout point in all of Glacier Park. And once you get out up there, for your considerable hiking efforts, you are rewarded with an absolutely incredible view, 360 degrees, unobstructed, looking down on some of the most gorgeous turquoise glacier-fed lakes anywhere, anytime. It is absolutely stunning. And I've made this climb probably 4 or 5 times since high school. And every single time, I've just been in awe of what I see. But one time, I remember it stands out much more than the rest. And it was the first time I'd made this climb after, I would say, years and years of wrestling with God, of really going to the mat with God, unconvinced not only that God would have the power to create that kind of beauty, but also unconvinced that God even existed. And so after all this wrestling, God finally had won this match, had won the wrestling match, had pulled me through this door of faith. And I still remember the first time after that when I walked up and I got up to that fire lookout. And just like every other time, I was totally in awe of what I saw. But unlike any other time, I was not only in awe of what I saw, but even more than that, I was just in awe of the God who created it. And so for me now, it had become worship. For me, God had managed to connect the dots, right? God had managed to draw a line between God's hands and what I saw all around me. And it had become worship, and it was so powerful. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're taking God to the mat like I have done and continue to do over and over again. I don't know what you think. Maybe you're in awe of creation just because of its sheer beauty. Maybe you're in awe of it because you believe that in some way God created it. And wherever you're at today, you're here. And so I want to give us a chance to just... we're not out there like we should be, but we're here, and I want to give us a chance to just sit in the presence of God and think about the awesomeness of creation. And maybe if you have your favorite spot in creation, I want to give you a chance to just focus on that just for a short time. Isn't that great? I really do think caring for creation begins really with standing in awe of it. And then I think the natural kind of progression from standing in awe of it is being humbled within it. That understanding that we are a part of creation and not apart from creation. Because, you know, we do a lot. We control creation in so many ways, don't we? I mean, we harness it for its power. We harvest it for food, right? We build our highways and our byways on top of it, and we put our towns and our cities on top of it, and we do all these things to creation. But at the end of the day, right, at the end of the day, we're always humbled within it. I don't think there's anybody that understands that better right now than 33 Chilean miners who just spent 60-some days literally stuck within creation, right? And one of the miners who's also a poet, maybe you guys heard this, he said this. He said, "I am not being rescued. I am being reborn. I'm not being rescued. I'm being reborn." And what he's doing is describing that feeling of coming face to face with the limit of our power and looking at the incredible power that is so beyond what we can comprehend. That's what he's describing. And he's describing the same thing that Job described after his huge ordeal found in the book of Job in the Bible. Job went through this whole deal, and he came to the same conclusion as this Chilean miner, but he had a little bit of help from God to reach that conclusion. In fact, he had 4 solid chapters of God helping him understand that we are a part of creation. We are within creation. And so I want to just read you just a couple parts out of these four long chapters so you can kind of hear what God was saying to Job, okay? So here we go. It says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, 'Here we are'? Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind?" You can read similar things for four solid chapters. And just when you think that God is leading up to that huge climax where he lifts up humans as the crown of creation, instead, God goes out in the final chapter talking about Leviathan, the great and mighty sea creature. Four straight chapters, not one mention of the human beings. We are part of something so much beyond ourselves. The miner said, "I'm not rescued, I'm being reborn." Here's what Job said. After all of that, he said, "I repent in dust and ashes." They're both confessing the same thing. We are within a creation that is so much beyond ourselves. And I really think that's at the root of taking care of creation. I want to show you another quick video. It's done by a guy who actually raised his family off the grid, if you can imagine that. I can hardly imagine that. And he was also a biology teacher and then became a pastor. And I think he does a pretty good job of tying together some of what we've been talking about and then pushing us to this next point that I want to try to make. So I think that's pretty inspirational. We don't own a church building here at Jacob's Well. We don't hope to own a church building, but wouldn't it be cool to have a garden like that? I'm not even a gardener, and I think that looks pretty cool. I'm definitely not a gardener. But hey, I want to give you guys a chance to talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Say hi to your neighbor. If you haven't met him, introduce yourselves. Say hello. And then here's what I'm hoping you can do. Talk about maybe one or two things that you're doing in your world to help care for the environment. Maybe you're biking a lot. Maybe you're a gardener. I don't know. Maybe you're doing some interesting recycling things. Talk amongst yourself. Maybe it's going to start with a confession, okay? If I'm in a group, I'm going to have to start with a confession because I am so not there yet. And I have to be honest because my mom's in church today. And so did anybody read about Sun Chips on Facebook? You know, Sun Chip had to switch their wrapping. They had this great biodegradable wrapping that they were using to put their chips in. And they had to switch back to the non-biodegradable kind because the biodegradable kind was so loud, that crumply and loud, that people stopped buying it. And that says a lot more about us than the manufacturer. And so I am right there. I drive a lot. I don't bike and walk as much because I'm always in a hurry. I'm always buying individually wrapped things because it's quicker to put in my kids' lunch boxes in the morning, right? I mean, I am so guilty. So I have to start with a confession. And I would love to hear some really great ideas of one thing that I could start doing to make a big difference. And so that's what I'm hoping you guys can talk about. And I'm hoping you can each walk away with maybe one new idea that you can actually put into practice in your life. So talk amongst yourself for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. So guys, I got a question for you. They're into the discussion. I'll just So I was listening to NPR the other day, and maybe you guys heard this quick segment also, but there's a person on NPR, and I have to admit that I had a car full of kids, so I sort of half heard it and half didn't, but here's what I heard. There's a guy telling about how every maybe 3 or 4 months, all the big world leaders, like the heads of state, all these big shots, get together at various destinations throughout the planet, and they get together to really try to talk about and hammer out some of these huge issues, environmental issues facing our planet today. And he was saying that, you know, the heads of state of some of the underdeveloped countries, maybe like China and India, they look at us and they say, you know, or at our heads of states, and they say, okay, you guys spent all these years building your economies, you know, and destroying the planet in the process, and now you want us to curb our appetites, you know? And then our leaders look at them and say, yeah, but if we do our best now to try to discipline ourselves with environmental issues, if you and your millions of people aren't doing the same thing, it's not going to matter. And this commentator said that month after month they get together and literally look at each other and just do this. And nobody moves. The issues never get hammered out. And I just think it's so interesting. God must just wag God's head, because here's the deal. We have found so many ways to divide ourselves. We divide ourselves by our economies, by our wealth, you know, by our continents and countries and states and every other way possible. But we have yet to figure out how to divide ourselves by planet, have we? And so I just think it is the great irony of God that we are unified in our dependence. We are absolutely unified in our dependence on God's creation. Isn't that, I don't know, I just think God must think, wow. And the truth is that we will go green, right? We will go green. We'll have to. It's just a matter of when and how urgently and maybe how painfully, right? I want to challenge you to think about something. I keep picturing Haiti and other countries like it, where the trees have been stripped bare and the soil has been used and overused and used some more, and there's garbage everywhere. And you know what? It's not because the people in Haiti and other countries like it. It's not because they don't care about the environment and they don't want to be green. It's just that it's really low on the priority list when you have to be cutting down those trees in order to build the fire, in order to boil your water and cook your food so that you don't die from what you are cooking and eating, right? And when your option is to keep overusing the soil or not eat, there you go. And so what's my point? In a way, it's a luxury to be able to think green, right? It's a luxury for those of us who live in places of abundance. And so I can't help but think that God is looking to us, looking to those of us who have the luxury. God's looking to us to make the difference that'll change the planet and to bring people together around these issues. One final thought. We worship a God who has dirt between his toes. Not sure if you're aware of that. We worship a God who loves this creation so much that he came down and walked around and slopped around in the muck with us, right? That's the God we worship. That's Jesus. And so if we want to follow Jesus, we got to love creation like that. We got to love it enough to get dirt between our toes. And so that's how I want to go out with you today. Let's pray. God, you came into this place and you said you wanted to save this world and not another, and that you love this one and want to redeem somehow this one. And so put it in our hearts, God, to help us see the world and the future the way you do, because if it's left to us, we just see our own lives and our own immediate needs. And we need you to see the long view. And we need you to inspire us outside of ourselves. And so as we go out into creation today, help us to be in awe of what we see. Help us to be humbled within your creation. And then help us to take one step today, one piece of action that helps us live into your vision for us. We give it to you in your name. Amen.